I love how the lectern magically appears every week. Fantastic, isn't it? As if it was planned. So apologies, we've had some issues with the slightly dodgy, wonky alarm system at the back, which keeps beeping. It's been a perpetual problem for the however many years we've been in here. I thought for a minute there, Tree, we're going to have to call on you to give your fire evacuation thing. But then I noticed you didn't have your lightsabers with you, so that's an in-joke, in-joke. Okay, let's dive in, shall we? 2 Corinthians 3. You might have spotted this if you were sharp, because it was song number one. And it goes like this. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yay. Verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Good news is you get about 5 of me today in the echo. That's a bonus, isn't it? Fantastic. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Okay, so just a really quick recap for context, I guess. We've talked, haven't we, about Galatians 5:1, which I guess has been our theme verse for this series. The series is called Breaking Free, if you hadn't caught that by now. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And what we've said is that's fantastic. We love that theological truth. But the reality is for all of us, probably, there's a gap. And there's a gap between what Christ has promised us, what he's purchased for us on the cross, what he won as he burst out the tomb. There's a gap between that and where we're functionally actually living. And actually, not only that, but there's an enemy. We know there's an enemy. And the enemy is doing all he can to kind of sucker and trick and trip us back into a form of functional slavery. He longs for nothing more than for us to be bound up and for us to be ineffectual and for us to be unthreatening. How does he do that? Well, he uses past, present, and future. He uses our past hurts and regrets. He uses our present doubts and temptations. And he uses our future anxieties and uncertainties. All of which means that there's a battle going on. And that battle is fought primarily right between our two ears. And there's a battle going on between truth and lies. There's a battle going on between faith and fear. There's a battle, as we heard last week, between the rock of God's word and the fickle changeability of our emotions. And here's today's message. We've just read it. And the message is this, that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us to navigate all of that, so that we can live, truly live, in the reality of the freedom that he has freely provided. And hence 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So that, I guess, is the big idea. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And to be honest with you, we put all our eggs in that basket. You know, for me, I don't know about you, I'm kind of charismatic to the bone. And so if the Holy Spirit is present, if the Holy Spirit has been revealed, is manifest, is unhindered, then he has the intent and the power to set us free. And you know, that place where the Holy Spirit is unleashed is the freest place. It's a place that is alive and is joyful and is unrestricted. I tell you what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced of this. The Holy Spirit can do more in his power in 1 second than you or I can do in our own strength in a lifetime. Do you agree with that? And so where the Holy Spirit is present, there is unprecedented freedom. And that's great. But there's another aspect to this that is even more impactful, at least personally and privately. And that's this. And you could translate 2 Corinthians 3:17 like this. You could translate it to read, "Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom." Now, we know, don't we, that the Holy Spirit is at work in services like Refreshing. But the danger is we kind of wake up, even if there have been bodies all over the floor and the power of God has been manifestly present, we can still wake up on a Monday morning. And you know what? If he's not Lord, we'll still be a long way from the freedom he has promised. The point is, you have to make the Holy Spirit Lord. No resisting, no quenching, no squirming. You know what I mean by that? Really, Lord? Is that really what you're prompting? You sure? We need to be willingly obedient. We need to be yielded. We need to be responsive whenever he breathes and speaks and whispers. Whatever you say, Lord, that I will do. Wherever you lead, Lord, there I will follow. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit is truly Lord, he will lead you into the sweetest and fullest and fearless freedom that you could possibly imagine. So, sort of thought number one is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then kind of the next level is, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And here's my slight amplification, if you like, of that. And it's this: where the Holy Spirit is listened to and cooperated with, that's where he's really Lord, right? Where the Holy Spirit is listened to and cooperated with, there is freedom. You see, when the Holy Spirit is present, there is freedom available. But you still have to receive it. You still have to step into it. Did you know it's possible for everyone around you to be free? It's possible for everyone around you to hear and receive the same message and the same truth, and they step into it and you don't. You have to listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have to lean in. You have to make room. You have to attend to the word of the Holy Spirit. You have to do what he says, and you have to follow where he leave. Putting that another way, I guess, here is the freedom key for this morning, and it's this: that your degree of freedom, okay, we all live somewhere on that continuum, don't we? A little bit of freedom, quite a bit of freedom, loads of freedom. Okay, the degree of freedom that we live in will be determined by the extent to which you listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. The degree of freedom you live in will be determined by how much, the extent to which you listen to and cooperate with God, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is ever at work on the inside. He's leading and he's prompting. He's warning, he's convicting. He's revealing and inspiring. And the question is, are you listening to that voice, or have you perhaps unwittingly blocked it out? Are you cooperating with him, or are you in any way resisting? You could put it like this: is the Lord in the driver's seat, or is he a passenger muzzled in the back seat? Let me put a bit of scripture to this. Three of them. Number one, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. This is from the Amplified. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God." That's what the Holy Spirit is there for. John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Amplified says, the truth-giving Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The whole, full truth. And then John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus speaking to disciples, it's going to be good news when I go. And they're going, no, crazy, surely not. He says, for if I do not go away, the helper, the Greek word parakletos, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So what do we learn from those three verses? Number one, we learn that the Holy Spirit is the still, small voice whispering in your spiritual ears. We learn that the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth, helping you to discern and to decide, helping you to filter. And we learn that the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He's the one called alongside to help you. But you have to let him help. You have to listen and you have to cooperate. And you know, a considerable part of spiritual maturity is learning to listen to the voice of conviction now so that you save yourself from being tormented by the voice of condemnation in the future. That spiritual maturity is just a stake in the ground acknowledgement that God knows best. So I'm going to listen. And so I'm going to cooperate every single time. Even if I cannot see the future outcomes. Even if my flesh inside of me is curling and screaming. Why? Because freedom comes where the Holy Spirit is listened to and cooperated with. Okay, I'm going to kind of explain how this works in three simple examples. Just quickly. Number one, example number one, someone wrongs you. Someone offends you, someone hurts you. What's going on inside of you between those two ears in this battle that we've talked about? Well, first of all, we know what the word says. Annoyingly, the word says forgive. Not seven times, Jesus told his disciples, forgive 70 times seven. Now we know that. That principle is unambiguous. You know, we understand, don't we, that forgiveness is right at the core of gospel. But the flesh is saying, don't do it. Why should you forgive them? They don't deserve your forgiveness. They need to be punished. And while all that is going on, the gentle Holy Spirit is whispering quietly in your ears. You know the truth. Remember what the word says. Don't listen to your chirpy and stroppy flesh. Attend to me. Let me lead you into truth. Let me lead you into peace and reconciliation. Let me lead you into love and joy. And guess what? If you ignore that Holy Spirit voice, what happens? Unforgiveness. Resentment. Bitterness. Tension. Broken relationships. And regret. We know, don't we, that unforgiveness is a prison in which you get held captive, making you the victim again for a second time. And you know what? A nagging part of you will be constantly reminding you that you ignored God. The two voices, both the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit and also the condemning and mocking voice of the enemy, the accuser, both of those voices will be reverberating around your spiritual ears. The flip is if you listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, there is tremendous, total freedom available. You can let that thing go. You can force it to let go of you. And you know what? You can walk straight out of that prison door. You can break the curse of bitterness and regret. And you can be free. Because where the Holy Spirit is listened to and cooperated with, there is freedom. You see, consequences, not least vengeance, that's the Holy Spirit's business. Yours simply is obedience. And in this case, forgiveness. Example number two. There's a great big heavy burden on your shoulder. There's a mountain right in front of you. A fear and anxiety is beginning to grow and it's starting to torment you. And what does the word say? Read it last week. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. But what does the flesh say? Again, we saw this last week. The flesh wants you to entertain it. It wants you to fantasize it. It wants you to catastrophize, which is one of my favorite words. It wants you to cling onto that burden. And what's the Holy Spirit saying? Holy Spirit is saying, give it to me. Let me draw close and comfort you. How can we work our way through this together? And again, if you ignore that voice, you will find yourself stumbling and bumbling into the bondage of fear and anxiety. But if you will listen to and cooperate with that internal voice, the Holy Spirit whispering on the inside, you can have the freedom of love and peace and divine strength. Example number three. I hope you're starting to get this now. Example number three, you're deep in a fiery conversation. You know what I mean? You know, in the middle of that conversation, your flesh just wants to unleash. It wants to explode. It's ready to give them both barrels. But what does the word say? The word says, pursue peace. The word says, measure your words. The word says, stay on the safety of the rock. What does the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit says, hold back. Don't go there. Red alert. Red alert. And again, if you ignore that voice, you're going to find yourself in all probability, confrontation, potentially fallout, damaged relationship. In other words, bondage, chains that bind, frustration, regret. But if you will listen to and cooperate with the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside, there's a freedom available. You can sweetly sleep at night knowing that you have done what the Lord said. You can have peace in the middle of that storm because you're walking hand in hand with God. And you know what? Not only that, you will get infinitely better fruit because you've sown Holy Spirit seed. Okay, let's summarize that. If you will listen to, if you will cooperate with the Holy Spirit, there's freedom. But where the Holy Spirit is resisted, where the Holy Spirit is ignored, there is bondage. And do you know what? We get to choose. So a bit like last week. Last week, I looked at the big idea, which we've done. We dealt with the principle and the practice, which we've done. If you like, we looked at the what and the why. And now I want to give you a little bit of theology to explain the how. How exactly do we do this? The question for the last little bit here is how exactly do we listen and cooperate? How exactly do we do it? How do we get better at doing that? Well, I got five little principles, five things you can focus on and do to help you to listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Going to be no surprises here. This is going to be simple stuff. First one, quite simply, open your heart. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Three verses, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, this is God speaking to you, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. First port of call, open your heart. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. You know what? The Holy Spirit does not force his way in. He invites us to respond to his invitation. And so the question is, does the Holy Spirit have your invitation? When he knocks on your heart, does he do so on a hard and a crusty and a resistant heart? Or is your heart soft and pliable and wide open? And if his word is like a seed, what is the fertility of your heart? So there are some crucial postures that we need to maintain, which make sure that our hearts stay wide open. Really quickly, the first one is worship. Posture of worship. Lord, I cannot fall to my knees quick enough because you are my Lord of all. Posture number one. Posture number two is humility. Lord, I'm happy to acknowledge that you know best. Posture number three is consecration. John the Baptist's words, less of me, God, and a whole lot more of you. And the posture number four is prayer. Lord, I'm asking. Lord, I'm listening, and my ears are open. And so obviously this is where it starts. Because openness says yes. And openness is the precursor to listening to and cooperating with. The flip is that resistance or stubbornness or defensiveness says no. And repeatedly puts up barriers that keep God out and therefore keep you bound. So number one, open your heart. Number two is this, the Spirit has a sword. The Spirit has, let me explain what I mean by that. You know the scriptures are familiar to you. Ephesians 6:17 says, take, and it talks about the armor of God there, and it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You know, the principal way that God will lead and guide you is through his word. That quiet, internal voice whispering truth, reminding you of the principles and the promises, bringing God's word alive to you as you read it. And as Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, exposing and judging and discerning those thoughts and intents and desires and emotions that we talked about last week. And you know what? You are going to need the sword to cut through the nonsense. You're going to need the sword to disempower the lies. You'll need the sword to discern the distractions. You're going to need the sword to disqualify the temptations. You're going to need the sword to expose anything unholy. And you know what? Above all, you're going to need the sword to cut off the head of the snake. You know, the very best guide that you could possibly have is an open heart filled with the Word. And so as we say every week, get that Word deep inside of you. Immerse yourself in Scripture. Train yourself to listen to the Word always, to cooperate with the Word quickly. Because a heart filled with the Word will always lead you into life. It will always lead you into freedom. So number one, open your heart. Little journey here. Number two, the Spirit has a sword. Number three is attend to the tug of conviction. A verse we had a couple of weeks ago, I think, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In Galatians 5 verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So we know, don't we, that conviction and condemnation are very different animals. Conviction is a loving alert that something needs to be addressed. It's a warning. It's just a redirect. Whereas condemnation is a punishing rebuke that mocks and shames. Conviction is God's kindness calling us into alignment. But condemnation is the enemy's accusation driving us away from grace. And so listening to the Spirit means paying attention when something doesn't sit quite right in your spirit. And when something feels off in your spirit, it may well be the Holy Spirit just cautioning you. You know, we talk about a check. We talk about a restlessness and an unease. And when the peace comes, Colossians 3:16, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. When that peace comes, that's the Holy Spirit telling you you're in the right place. It's that assurance, that comfort, that confidence. And of course, we know, don't we, that what we call the inward witness, you know, people talk about the conscience, they talk about intuition, that's the voice of the human spirit. We understand that the inward witness is quiet, whereas the flesh is loud and boisterous and demanding. There's a really useful illustration, I think. I don't know, has anyone got an old car which hasn't got a kind of an aux or Bluetooth, and you have to use an FM transmitter? And you get your phone, and you attach the phone to the transmitter, and what the transmitter does is it sends a signal onto your radio, and it then plays. But the problem is, if you have the wrong frequency, if you have a frequency that's already occupied by a strong radio signal, your music just doesn't, it can't cut through. And so you have to find a clear and empty kilohertz, whatever it is, megahertz, on the dial in order for your music to be able to cut through there. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You have to tune out those thoughts. You have to tune out the emotions, and you have to listen in the quiet and in the stillness to that inward voice, that still, small voice. So number three is attend to the tug, the gentle, quiet tug of the voice of the Holy Spirit, that voice of conviction. I read Romans 5 verse 6. Here's the message. It says, those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. And it says this, attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. So we're near there. Number three, attend to the target of conviction. Number four is observe key teachable moments. John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. 1 John 2:27, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. The point being that the Holy Spirit is ever teaching. He'll be teaching through Scripture, through life events, through trials and tribulations, maybe even through other people, through conversations. And a teachable heart is attentive. It's ever listening and observing and questioning. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? For the unteachable spirit has shut ears. It shuts its ears out of pride or out of stubbornness or maybe even out of foolishness. And if you shut people out, that's one thing. But if you shut the Holy Spirit out, you're in big trouble. You know, and every now and again, the Holy Spirit will lead you into what I like to call an aha moment. You know, every now and again, the Holy Spirit will just shine that light. He will bring something to the surface. And when he does, jump on it. You know, if God is in it, that there's freedom and there's breakthrough right there. Here's some advice for you. Look out for patterns. Watch for patterns. What am I mean by that? Does God keep bringing things to the surface? You know, the first 3 or 4 times you don't even notice, but by the time it gets to times 5, 6, 7, you're starting to get a little suspicious. What's God doing here? Is there a reason? There's a pattern emerging here. You know, does God keep flagging the same character flaw? I know he does for me. Or the same overreaction. Or maybe the same bad habit. And in my experience, God does this graciously and he does it gently. And it usually takes me a while to get it. But you know what? God knows where the potholes are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what binds and constrains us. And so again, if you will listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, let him take you on that refining and that sanctifying and that maturing journey. So number 4 is observe teachable, key teachable moments, because Holy Spirit is ever teaching. And the last one, number 5, is be responsive to prophetic ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20 say, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. 1 Corinthians 14:3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So the message is, we believe, don't we? We believe that God does and can speak to us still in powerful and liberating and even life-changing ways. And so the moral is, when God speaks, don't miss it. Grab hold of it and attend to it. Yes, we know that we need to weigh prophecy, we need to test prophecy, we need to pray about it. But God uses prophetic words to inspire and to inform and to ignite the church. I'm going to suggest there are 3 main ways that this can happen, and then I'll pretty much be done. Number 1 is inspired preaching, to which I would say, we can but hope. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words you said that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You know, and it's incredibly powerful when the Holy Spirit takes the spoken word and opens it up to you in a new and insightful and a relevant way. The King James there used this word, quicken. You might have heard people talking about a now word. We hear people talking about, don't we, about a word in season. I've heard it before and I'll hear it again. But right now, where I am right now, that suddenly comes, there's an inspiration on that. And every now and again, people come up to me and say, Jamie, you've been reading my emails. I don't know who you were talking to, but you were definitely talking straight to me. You know, God can and God does orchestrate that. And he certainly has done it for me over and over again. And the point is, when God speaks prophetically through his word, grab hold of it. Jump on it. Because if he has spoken that word to you, he's done so for a reason. And the reason is, there is freedom and there is breakthrough power available if you will step in, if you will listen, and if you will cooperate. Second main way that God will speak is through a prophetic word, often from the front, from the microphone, sometimes something that emerges out of our worship. You know, words of knowledge. We love words of knowledge. They're like keys that unlock doors to freedom. And when the Holy Spirit shows someone who has that prophetic gift, when he shows me a word or a picture or perhaps exposes a need or highlights a blockage or presents an opportunity, then my advice would be to jump on that. That there is an anointing on that to set you free. And when that happens, my advice would be to run, as they say, to the altar. And the third main way that God will use that prophetic ministry is through the gifts of the Spirit, actually during prayer ministry. You know, prayer ministry, if you think about it, is already a place of openness. God has invited you, and you have responded, and you've invited him. And if you've given God your invitation, surely we just should not be surprised when he chooses to speak. And again, there's tremendous anointing, there's breakthrough power, there's freedom available as we listen and as we respond and as we cooperate with what God says and when we follow where he leads. Okay, let's wrap this up. God longs to lead you. I wish I could eyeball every single person in the room. God longs to lead you into the fullness of freedom. He longs to lead you away from limiting and frustrating and even crippling bondage. But you know what? Freedom will be the inevitable byproduct of the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life, because as we've read, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit is Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is listened to and cooperated with, there's freedom. That's what the Holy Spirit's working. That's where the Holy Spirit is leading. But here's the key again. The degree of freedom that you walk in, that you live in, that you experience will be determined by the extent to which you listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And of course, the more you listen, the more you respond, the freer you'll be. The less you listen, and the more you resist, then the more bound up you'll be. You see, if the Holy Spirit is squeezed out, if he's neglected and ignored, is it any wonder that we find ourselves bound up and frustrated and anxious and fearful and lost and confused? The Philippians, the more he is given permission to work, the more he is given permission to speak and to guide, then the more freedom and the more peace and the more joy you will inevitably experience and enjoy. So, today, my best advice for you is to drive a stake into the ground and make a decision here and now that I'm going to listen to and cooperate with God the Holy Spirit, whatever, whenever, and however. And you know what? That is a life-changing decision and one that you will never, ever regret. Okay, I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. That was quicker than the hour and a half I promised them that it was going to take me this morning. So well done, everyone. You listened quickly. So how are we going to respond to this? I suspect you've figured that out all by yourselves because you're clever. But I'm going to give you some hints just in case. Two questions, essentially. Question number one is, are you a listener? And how are you at hearing and recognizing the Holy Spirit's voice? Are you a listener? And then the follow-on from that is, are you a cooperator? Are you a submitter? Or are you a resister? Are you quick? Or are you reluctant? And of course, the response, without a shadow of a doubt, is to make the Holy Spirit Lord here and now. Because where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. So I'd encourage you today, this morning, to drive that stake in the ground. Drive that stake in the ground. Lord, I intend to listen to you whatever, whenever. I intend to cooperate with you whenever, whatever, however. And I'd encourage you this morning, as we respond and team will lead us in some worship, just talk to the Lord about that. How good am I at that, Lord? Are you speaking and I'm missing it? Are you giving me fantastic advice and guidance and I'm kind of wrestling with it and then wondering why I stumble and end up with mud on my face? Say, Lord, what do I need to do to become a fantastic listener and an instant and obedient cooperator? That's response number one. That's applicable for us all. Response number two is this. Bring it really into the specific. Bring it into the here and now. How does the situation you are currently facing, whatever that is, and you may not be, praise the Lord, a Monday morning's ticking around fast, you know, the situation or the challenge or the pickle that you find yourself in, how does that change if you choose to listen to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit? In that situation, you can talk to the Lord about this as we respond. In that situation, what is God saying? What are the patterns that you're starting to observe? Where is the Holy Spirit tugging gently and persistently on your heartstrings? And what do you do with all that? Well, I'd encourage you to pray that consecration prayer. Pray a yes, Lord, prayer this morning and invite him into that situation. Have a conversation which you agree that if he speaks, you'll listen and do whatever he says and allow him then to lead you into sweet and complete freedom. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray really quickly and then we'll set up the ministry time. So as always, this side of the church over here is open. If you want to come and do some of that, obviously you can do that in your seat, but there's something really powerful, I think, about walking to the front, getting on your knees, you know, showing everybody, showing the Lord that you mean business. And if you come to the front over here, no one will pray with you or for you. They'll leave you to do your thing with the Lord. If you want prayer specifically, whether it's related to what I've been talking about or anything else entirely, they'll have a challenge, the prayer ministry team. So whatever you've got for them this morning, if you come and see them over here, and they will happily and gladly pray for you, pray over you, and we'll pray and we'll believe that God will speak and that God will give you some clues and some keys and prophetic prayer, hopefully, and believe that God will lift that burden off your shoulders and open up that situation for you and help you to step into the freedom that you long for. Is that okay? Let's stand. Well done for standing still, sitting still so patiently. Thank you very much. I'll pray. Father God, thank you that you came to set us free. And Lord, everyone in this room wants to live free. And where there's a gap, we know that there are areas in which we're still a little bit bound up that frustrate us. We'd love to shake those off. And today's key, Lord, is you're there, constantly present in our hearts, whispering, leading through your word, through that inward witness, leading us into freedom, leading us into life. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to become good listeners. Help us, Lord, to become yielded cooperators. And whatever we're facing here today and right now, would you lead us into the freedom that you purpose for us, the freedom that you purchased for us, the freedom that you are walking, journeying with us, trying to lead us into day by day, moment by moment. So Holy Spirit, we give you this time. Come do your work, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I shall slide back onto the keyboard, pass back to Tree. Feel free to come forward.